Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Shoe Podcast, the only sneaker podcast that just finished headlining two weekends at Coachella. I'm your co-host, Ryan Landry.
I'm your co-host, Tanner Young. Man, those outfits go crazy.
Out in the California desert, just having a good time.
The only thing I enjoyed was seeing a ton of interviews where people were like, I'm wearing a lot of sunscreen. And I was like, go ahead.
Good. Good. We love that. Are you saying hydrated? We love that even more.
Well, just as they're much, probably consuming important. A liquid.
Yeah, I didn't consuming say drinking water. Hydrated is hydrated. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see Kid Cudi falling off the stage? Poor guy.
I didn't.
Kid Cudi took a tumble off the stage. Not so great. I think my favorite clip that I saw from the weekend was from Tyler, the Creator set, where he's performing. What song is it off of? The song that Frank Ocean's on. Her, yes. I want to call the album Goblin, but the album's not called Goblin. It's the one with Yonkers. Wow, this is a whole side tangent we're doing here. Anyways, he's doing that song and he gets on the mic and he's like, y'all can stop looking for Frank because no one knows where he is. And then they just start doing the song. He's like, y'all going to have to sing this because Frank is not showing up, which is good. You know, like let the people set the expectations what the people are there for.
Was that last year that Frank basically just like got on and did like a...
Well, a listening party. A listening
there you event, go. That's
right?
What
you know,
there
it's what Ye's been doing since like the Donda albums where it's like, no, it's not a concert. Like I'm going to play it and I'll be there so I could understand how you might think it's going to be a concert. But no.
And I like that he was also wearing headphones.
Yeah.
To really be like, we're in my bedroom.
We're all in and this I'm moment like, together.
I'm like, no, Frank, we're at a overly priced celebrity influencer festival. I would like for you to.
I think I'd read this was like one of the first years that tickets didn't sell out like rather immediately. And it had them somewhat concerned, but from what I saw, the lineup this year was nothing too remarkable anyways.
I have not Coachella. I as soon as I was like, oh, Coachella is for
the rich
like celebrities,
the rich
and like IG influencers. I have never really even bothered.
Yeah.
I think the last Coachella that ever is the Frank Ocean one. And then Beyonce was at one of them. I don't know how long ago.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But it takes Frank Ocean and Beyonce for me to be like,
to pay attention to anything. Yeah. Well, if that's what it takes, I don't think you're going to be paying attention to this episode, but for those of you who are, thank you so much for checking out another episode of Shoe Podcast, wherever you're listening. Hit that little follow button. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. It just takes a minute of your time. We appreciate all of you showing up for what is a somewhat unfortunate episode that we've got today here. It's not going to be a pretty one, well, I'm afraid. Yeah.
Unfortunate if you're an employee of a particular sports brand.
Yes. So as you've gathered from the title and thumbnail of this one, we're going to be talking about Nike's recent announcement that they are some might call it a reduction in workforce. I would call it laying off or firing. About
HR.
Yeah. They love saying it's a reduction in workforce. You know, like your role is no longer like available for the company. And it's like, I think you mean I'm just getting fired. And they're like, no. It's we're doing a right sizing, you know?
Yeah.
It's not a downsizing. We're not getting smaller than we need to be. We're getting where we were oversized.
Yeah. No. I still love you.
I still love you. I love you.
I just don't like you. And I don't need you.
Yeah.
But someone else out there is going to show you the love that
you're going to make someone else very happy. You're going to be a great fit for someone else. I'll tell you right now. Yeah. So, we should say we are a lighthearted podcast and we have a lot of fun and make a lot of jokes, but we are very sorry for anyone that is a result of this big impact at Nike. I can't begin to imagine really what that is like. So our condolences go out to all of you that, you know, I doubt any of the Nike employees are listening to the show, but they might be. They might be tuned in.
If one of them does, I hope that they know that we care.
You're going to listen to us drag for 40 minutes now, you know, your former employer. So buckle up. You're here for a good time.
Yeah. Come on.
And the other disclaimer to give at the top of the episode is that you'll see me reading from an outline. I say me, you'll see us reading from an outline because we put together a lot of our thoughts before here. But just wanted to call out at the top of the episode that a lot of what we're about to say is citing a handful of articles that we pulled from The Guardian, CNBC, Complex, et cetera, other sources. So we'll have links to these sources in the episode description down below, because what is journalism? I mean, neither of us went to school for it, but you can try, right? You can at least do your best to not plagiarize blatantly. So we'll try to have the source in the episode description, but please forgive us if we don't cite each exact source with every quote as we're going through this. We're just kind of pulling together all the facts that we could find online here. But I think this big announcement really happened today or maybe yesterday as of the time of recording, that I saw it pop up on Instagram that Nike was laying off about 740 jobs by the end of June. Complex is the one that I saw post it. I don't know. Did you see it posted online, or did you find out about it when, you know, we started planning this episode together?
Yeah, I did not know. I mean, it's been a minute of, I feel like, a lot of major corporations, but definitely Nike, of hearing of this. I did not hear or see anything about this particular company's layoffs.
Yeah.
Saw another company's layoffs, but not Nike at this large of a
scale.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to walk through kind of the timeline of this recent round and wave of layoffs. We'll talk a little bit about why we think they're going through this, as well as, you know, some comments that CEO John Donahoe has given on it as well. And then we'll give you our thoughts a little bit towards later in the episode here. So starting off with the timeline, just so we've all got that same frame of reference. By the way, a little late to say it if you're just tuning in on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. We are a video podcast, so you can watch us talk about this if you want on Spotify or on YouTube. We're not plugging for the follow right now. We already did that. But this is all to say, we don't really have visuals prepared for today's episode. So, like, if you're just listening, you're not missing out on much except our pretty faces, which is, I mean, it's not nothing.
It's something. Cute.
All right. So the timeline here. So back in December of this past year, 2023, rumors start to circulate that layoffs are coming. I think The Guardian was where I pulled the first article that was speculating that Nike was about to get rid of a lot of jobs. And the quote that I pulled is that Nike is to cut hundreds of jobs, simplify its product ranges, and increase its use of automation as parts of attempts to save $2 billion in costs over the next 3 years. So at the end of 2023, they say over the next three years, we're going to try to save $2 billion in costs. And part of that effort includes cutting hundreds of jobs.
I don't think I have ever heard of a company saying that they want to get rid of, or they need to save $2 billion.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, but it's also the scale of Nike, right? Where it's like, that's a lot of money, but relative to the size of Nike, I think it's not as astronomical as it sounds. It's like, have you ever seen, whatever that website is, it gets recirculated on Reddit a lot. That's like visualizing how much money $1 billion actually is. It'll scroll.
Yes.
It'll be like, Here's the average US income. Here's the average US house price. Here's what $1 million looks like. Here's what $1 billion. And you're just scrolling. So that's what I think of when I see $2 billion. I was like, that kind of sounds like a lot. And it's like, it's an unfathomable amount of money, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think almost even just like upwards of more than $1 million is.
Yeah.
If you really start looking at it, like a ridiculous amount.
Yeah. So that was at the end of December. Fast forward 2 months into February of this year. And then another announcement comes that layoffs are now here. They are happening. So the end of December is Nike saying, like, the wave is about to come. I think February is the first wave of, like, it's here. The article that I pulled from Complex titled Nike CEO Announces Job Cuts. I think the quote says Nike confirms its plans to cut 2% of its workforce, which is more than 1,500 jobs. And I think some layoffs start happening at that time, which, again, that goes to speak to, like, the scale of this whole operation, right? You hear a company is getting rid of, like, 2% of its workforce, and you're like, okay, that's bad. You know, like, you don't want that to happen. But, like, you think of, like, maybe a company the size of which you work for, the one of which I work for, and you're like, oh, man, that's going to suck for some people. But, like, thankfully, it's not huge. 1,500 jobs. Like, that's a large amount of people, no matter the size of the company and relative to how many people that is.
Yeah. I think 2% of my job would be like, how do you fire half a person? Like, that's crazy. Yeah.
Can you just come in for 20 hours this week? Actually, we don't need you the whole 40.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, 2%, 1,500 jobs. That's crazy. Ryan, quick math. What's 100%? What's their employee count?
I'm not doing math on the job here. I'm off the clock. No, thank you. No, thank you. Someone will grill me because they're like, that should be relatively quick and easy math to do. Here's the thing, though. I'm so like spotlight on the moment of like, you're doing a podcast that I'm like, I'm too nervous to get it wrong to even try to guess, right? Where I'm like, nope, nope, not even going to try to touch it.
Okay, so just take 1,500, multiply that by 98.
So anyways, they say, I think one of the quotes I pulled at that time as well of February of 2024 is that it's not clear which departments will experience layoffs, but they will not affect retail employees at Nike stores or warehouse workers, the company said. So it seems like mainly like Beaverton, Oregon campus positions, like what you might call like not executive positions, but office positions, you know, like
I guess more white collar,
salaried probably rather than more like, you know, like hourly employees,
which I mean, yeah, if you're trying to save $2 billion, most people would be like, wow, you should probably cut higher percent or like, you know, whatever the higher is. Typically, however, I feel like that's not where a company lies.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather get rid of 10,000 people making $20 an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then the latest announcement that comes out, which again, let me pull the complex article here, April 22nd. Okay. So that's yesterday from the date of recording here, saying that Nike plans to lay off over 700 employees at its world headquarters in Beaverton, Oregon by June. News of the cuts was revealed via a WARN notice filed in Oregon last week. So yeah, which is just another element to this whole thing that we'll get a little bit more into later, but the whole aspect of like, you might work at Nike and find out that like layoffs are happening through the news reporting it, which again is another one of those, like, we don't work for a company of that size to where like, that's really a threat, but like, man, what like a messed up world I feel like that is to live in, you know?
Well, I mean, honestly, probably one of the craziest things would just be to see or hear that there are that many people working at the headquarters. Like, how massive of a campus that where you can be like, I'm going to cut 700 jobs. I'm like, how many people are there?
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's why they call it a campus, right? That's why it's not like an office. Yeah. It's literally a campus. It's multiple buildings.
That is crazy. I have no idea what, I mean, like, to literally be at work one day and then this email just spreads like wildfire of like, hey, there's a high percentage that you or this person you work in close proximity to, you will not see. And have a fun summer because it's going to take a minute.
If there's 50 of you in here's your quick math for you. 2%. If there's 50 of you in the room, one of you is unemployed now. You know, which is like not a lot, but that's enough to just be looking around. And that's enough, I think, that's enough, unfortunately, to get kind of comfortable and like, okay, it's just one of us. It's probably not me. Like you're going to start pointing I think being like, true. Oh, this person probably. So anyways, there is the rough timeline to bring you up to speed if you haven't been following it. So touching real quick on, you know, why are they doing this? Why do we think it's happening? Again, Nike's got their stated reason that this is, you know, a component of a broader initiative that Nike has to save $2 billion in cost over the next 3 years. But something that I found interesting, and this was also reported by Complex a couple of weeks ago, I think they touched on it in last week's episode of the Complex Sneakers podcast, worth checking out. You know, it's no competition. It's all friends. We all love shoes. Yeah. We all love talking about shoes.
We don't look at number one and number two.
Yeah, okay? Exactly. Yeah. Or number one and number 13 or wherever it and might be. Okay. And I'm not saying that's who. What it is.
we don't number check. Okay? It's number check around these parts.
It's all you could look on Apple Podcasts or you could talk to our parents. Right. And those numbers would be wildly different as to which one's number one. What's right? Relative. It's all subjective.
Who knows?
It's all. I'm not here to say that. I'm not here to speculate.
I don't know.
Anyways, so last week on their podcast, they were talking about how John Donahoe, again, Nike CEO, had recently gone on the record blaming remote work for the company falling behind on innovation. quote saying, mm-hmm. what's been missing is the kind of bold, disruptive innovation that Nike's known for. Mm. And when we look back, the reasons are fairly straightforward. In hindsight, it turns out it's really hard to do bold, disruptive innovation to develop a boldly disruptive shoe on Zoom. Zoom taking a specific, catching a stray here for no reason, you know? It wasn't Slack, it wasn't Teams. I mean, for sure it wasn't Skype, but Zoom, an unnecessary stray caught in this whole conversation.
I'm sure they're sitting there be like, Nike,
bro, we're going to shut the license off. Fine.
Be like, okay, I thought the people loved the feud between Travis Scott and old tennis guy.
You want to utilize our platform to fake beef between Travis Scott and John McEnroe, and then later be like, you guys might be enabling our lack of innovation over here. Shut the licenses off, Zoom. If you're listening right now, shut the licenses off.
Mm. Well, I wonder if you asked him how bold and disruptive a McDonald's campaign has been. So,
I don't know. So, yeah, I was going to ask you, so we hadn't really got to talk about this yet. What's your take on Nike blaming their lack of innovation on remote work? I literally have to get you started because it's only been 17 minutes and we got to go for a little longer here.
That is, I think for a while, that is going to be every company's scapegoat.
Yeah.
Every company scapegoat is going to say that it is because work from home. That's why our production is down. That's why innovation's down. These numbers are down. Mm-hmm. It's not because we don't pay people fairly or adequately to the world.
Or that they laid off a pretty good handful of designers, I believe, last year as well.
There you go. So that's, you know, things like that is going to happen. My tinfoil cap, especially towards this, I think Nike does make a ton off of reselling somehow. I don't know how, but
you haven't connected the threads on your poster board yet, but you got the threads.
There's a lot of loose red yarn hanging off the cork board.
On just the other side of this camera, if you could see on the other side. Yeah.
So much. It's a spaghetti mess. But because Nike never will, I feel like they don't go boldly against the resale market because I do think they get, so I don't know how, again, but they do. I guess also they're just like, whatever, people are buying our shoes. I don't care.
Your Honor, I can't prove it, but I just know. All right. I love this. I love this.
But yes, I think the work from home push now, I think it's a big push because people are like, hey, I can be as productive, if not more productive.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to pretend to be productive. I think because a lot of people who work from home have more internal pressure that they put on themselves rather than being in office because, I think especially for like our generation, because it's like, oh, I think there are a lot of people who are going to scrutinize my work because I'm working from home and they're waiting for me to mess up. So I have to be on this productive grind.
Yeah.
And meet these deadlines, if not early, you know, definitely rather than pushing them. So yes, I think this is just the scapegoat that every company would be like, oh, well, hey, why were we behind this quarter? Work from home.
Here's my
take. No one wants to design the next Michael Jordan, you know,
from the living room.
Yeah. When they're in their jammies.
Yeah. Here's my take.
I'm just like, don't you have like beanbag chairs in your office? Like what's so different?
Truly. My take is that if work from home is your crutch or your cripple as to why you're not hitting goals in 2023 and 2024, I need you to explain to me why you had record-breaking years in 2020 and 2021 when we were all working from home.
Uh-oh.
That's every time they want to talk. Right. That's every time they want to talk about how like work from home is such a hindrance to the company. I'm like, are we glossing over those 2 years where we worked from home and like had our best years ever? Because if so, like, are you just saying
during a pandemic, even
better, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah. During a pandemic where everyone was like, oh, this is some scary stuff. But again, I don't think they want to bring that up because then it's going to look at me like, oh, everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, was just given a bunch of money.
Yeah.
And then obviously that's going to create, you know, I think our massive inflation now. And everybody's like, oh, I don't really want to pay people more.
Yeah. Well,
it's like a good point. Turns out people have to have money to spend money. And now that just groceries and their living.
Hang on. Don't get them started on it. Don't get them too started on it.
Yeah. Turns out people are having to choose between, you know, food.
Jordan 1s like and eggs. Let's just call it what it is. I got to have Jordan 1s or eggs this week, you know?
No. Babe, if we just. We eat the can of tuna first, and then tomorrow night we just lick the can of tuna. That's two meals.
Oh,
it's two meals.
I hated that sentence as you said it. I'm going to push us back on topic here just to get that thought out of my mind. A good point they made on the Complex Sneakers podcast last week as well, talking about remote work, is that I think a lot of just like if you're looking for the most disruptive and talented designers that you have, the odds that the very best of the best want to move to Portland, Oregon might not I think you're going to limit yourself somewhat there, you know, and they were saying through like some insider industry connections that they had that they've heard talks of people saying, you know, like, yeah, I don't want to go move to Portland, Oregon, like different sneaker designers saying they don't want to live there, even though, you know, it's a hub for both Nike and Adidas. So it's kind of like if one doesn't work out and you got to maybe sweat out a non-compete in between, you could go work at the other. But still, especially if there are remote work opportunities as a great designer, if footwear is not necessarily like you're pigeonholed into doing it, you could do other areas of fashion, a New York, an LA, a Paris, something like that might make more sense to where it's like, well, if this doesn't work out, there are plenty of other industries cemented here, whereas like Portland, Oregon, it's like, unless I'm gonna work at a shoe company forever, like I don't know what else I'm gonna do there.
I mean, Portland, and I mean, I don't really know the actual mileage, but I feel like Portland, Oregon and Los Angeles aren't, you're at least on the same coast.
You're on the same coast. It's several hours
so you
away.
Could, but then it's also like, hey, do you want to move to a Los Angeles? So yeah, I mean, that to me, that's just like one of the biggest things is you're going to limit yourself again, because it's like, it's also Portland, Oregon. It's not like this like crazy. It's like you said, of this like Paris or Los Angeles or New York.
I loved my time in Portland, Oregon. Great city.
Yeah, but you left.
Well, yes, it was a vacation. I couldn't afford. Yeah. I couldn't afford to live there. I ate at a great Hawaiian place that I talk about to this day.
Huh.
Is it enough to make me go live there? No, but
that's also kind of telling. You had a great Hawaiian restaurant in Portland,
Oregon. It was phenomenal. It's called 808 Hawaiian. I encourage anyone listening to this that's in Portland, go there. Not a sponsor of the episode, but if they wanted to, I would gladly discuss it with them.
What was your favorite thing? What's the
vegan? Favorite thing that I had there, like a teriyaki chicken with a mac salad and some rice. Super simple, super easy. Wow. Nothing crazy, right? It wasn't, you know, masubi is delicious. Good. I didn't have masubi. I didn't go for a whole poke thing at that time, but just, you know,
fair.
So good. So good and simple.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Also, quick anti
Hawaiian PSA coming at you real quick. Sorry. What did you say?
Non-competes are illegal.
Mm.
They cannot hold that against you. You can sign it and then break it and they can't do anything. They can threaten you all they want. And you could also be like, hey, it is illegal for you to do a non-compete. You cannot force me into that. So just, you know,
there you go. Not legal advice. We just got to put that out there. Not legal.
Nike employees, take something from the office. Go ahead.
You have his permission. Grab a stapler all the way out.
Yo, stapler was what I was thinking.
Well, it's classic Office Space. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah.
All right. So anyways,
unionize.
In summary, Your Honor, in closing, unionize. So getting to the last bit of the section here that I have titled Why It's Messed Up. It's not titled Why It's Messed Up. It's a little more aggressive than that, but in fairness to the show, in fairness to the viewer, why it's messed up.
Okay.
I came up with a couple of points here and I'm curious to hear yours as well. The first one, well, really all of them, all of these get under my skin, but the first one in particular, either I'm completely misunderstanding it, but I don't think I am. So this is quoting the Guardian article from the end of December, where they were just, they hadn't yet started laying off people. They said it's coming. This is where they're talking about the $2 billion initiative, right? And they're trying to reduce their cost because their sales at the end of 2023 were down compared to where they want them to be. Not the prior year, but just compared to their forecast and their budget, perhaps. So for those of you perhaps without a business background here, when your sales are down and you're not going to hit your budget, which is like at the beginning of the year, what you thought you were going to do for the year, you've got two choices. Because basically, right, you have the price that you sold your product for and the price that you paid for your product. And everything in there, what you sold it for minus what it cost you, that's your profit. That's your revenue, right? So if you have a revenue goal, you can, and you're not hitting it, this middle is too small, right? You're not selling enough and it's costing you too much. You can do one of two things. You can sell more to move the whole thing up so that this chunk in the middle here is higher, or you can just reduce your costs so that the chunk in the middle gets bigger. And a very quick way to reduce your costs is to reduce your people because they cost you. So quoting the Guardian article from the from end of December 2023, quote, the announcement comes after Nike said sales rose only 1% to $13.4 billion in the 3 months to November 30th, or down 1% once the impact of currency exchange. Profit margins were up, however, so earnings rose 19%. Sales were up only 1%, but profit was up the middle chunk here. Earnings rose 19%. It seems good. I can understand if your sales are only up 1%. Now, granted, this is the whole thing with, like, I don't want to get into it, but, like, you know, unsustainable growth of, like, you know, we have to, every year's got to be bigger than the last. 1%, you might be like, you're flat to last year. You could run the business the same you did last year. But no, you have to grow more than 1%. And the way you do that, you drop the cost, which is the people. So,
but that also can't be sustainable. Like, you can't just you can only fire so many people. Like after so many times of doing that, people will just be like, oh, I don't want to work for said company because,
well,
I don't know how long, like, I can't build a longevity of a career here because every couple years, every 2-3 years, they're doing these thousand, you know, plus employee layoffs.
Yeah.
And that's even if I'm like, you would think even less of, like, I'm not in that percentage by being at this, like, main campus of being like,
it's been the remote people. It's going to be the people working retail, you know? No.
100%. Like that outlet store, like, bounce them, things like that. And then it's like, oh, 700 jobs of our, like, closest people who are supposed to be doing this groundbreaking innovation.
They're now
staying. And then again, it's like, okay, well, when's the next time? But, you know,
let me hop in real quick. Cause you just made an excellent point that I don't know if you know, if you just saw 700 people get laid off and heard that another 700 were coming, would you be very excited to go innovate at Nike? That's the question here, right? Of like, does this draw in the new era of innovation that they need? I don't know. But I think for so many people, my take on companies of this size or, you know, similar or even bigger is that so many people just really want them for resume candy. And it's not necessarily to build a long-term career over there, but to say you worked in whatever department at Nike is kind of like a stamp of like, I could go do this same job almost anywhere else. Cause I did it at Nike, you know, like, I did it at Google. Yeah. I did it at, you know, Lululemon. It's like, if I could do it for a company this big, I could probably do it somewhere else. So I think.
So it is in a sense of like being able to, like, you take a step down in the sense of like, I'm not working, I'm going to work for a smaller company. Obviously, I mean, Nike is a giant company. Right. So smaller to Nike is still, I'm sure huge, but I think that is probably a good thing too. Maybe kind of keep in mind when you see these big ones is, I think it's a very good point that you brought up of like, hey, there may be a lot of people who like will get fired and be like, that is totally fine.
I've got it on my resume. It's like getting a certificate or like a college degree, kind of, you know?
Because it's like I can now leverage just Nike, where I may have been in like this mildly entry level position at in their campus. But because right. I can say that I was on campus in Oregon for Nike, I can now leverage that for this maybe like higher title, which will again just beef up my resume, probably be making the same, if not getting a pay raise by being let go from Nike. So I think that is a very good thing to think about. Obviously, we're not saying that every single person would have that mindset, but I do think yeah. that, you know, for the Nike employees that are listening who will unfortunately, you know, be let go, I think that's probably that's the silver lining, you know, when something
it's about the only thing you can take from this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that's a really great thing to think of. It's like, oh man, I can leverage this to probably a greater position. So I actually really like that point. I think that's a really good thing. And I do hope that there is at least a few employees who have that mindset, who can spread that mindset and give more of that uplifting. Yeah. But I think one of the craziest things I think of companies is kind of what you said of that sustainability. It's like, mm-hmm. how long can you have these unreasonable growth? Like at some point you're going to be like, man, we're down this year. Well, how much did you make? We only made $18 billion this year. Yeah. We were supposed to make $24 billion. And it's like, I think you made a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think you're good. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it is crazy to think that, and you have to do that, what, four times a year? You have to.
You're talking about increasing? Like quarterly?
I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
It's going to depend on the size of the company. I mean, a lot of them will like, you'll track it monthly. Quarterly will probably like, you'll be more heavily scrutinized for it. And then mm-hmm. annually is like really what they'll hold you to is like, gotcha. At the end okay. of the year. Cause like you could say you missed your budget and like, let's call it February, but then you overachieve it in March. And so for the sure. whole quarter, it ends up like balancing out. That's what they'll look at. And then at the end of the yeah. year, you know, some quarters might be up or down compared to where you thought they were going to be, but the whole year itself is going to be okay. really important. All right. Yeah.
At least so, there's that, but still.
Point number two, getting further under my skin here. Quoting an internal email from Nike CEO John Donahoe, quote, "This is a pain," speaking on the whole situation here, "this is a painful reality and not one that I take lightly. We are not currently performing at our best, and I ultimately hold myself and my leadership team accountable. That said, I have never been more confident in our leadership and team to drive the clarity and teamwork required to win." Let me repeat it once more in case you really didn't get it, and then I will rephrase it.
Give us the business jargon that this is leading to.
I'm going to requote it once more exactly here. We are not currently performing at our best, and I ultimately hold myself and my leadership team accountable. That said, I have never been more confident in our leadership and team to drive the clarity and teamwork required to win. Here's the analogy.
Thank you.
You're on a road trip with your friends. One of your friends is in charge of navigating. At a certain point, they miss a turn and take you 2 hours in the wrong direction the entire time, insisting that you're going the right way. They then come to the realization that they've gone the wrong way and say, "Hey, we need to let some people out of the car because we're not going to make it to where we need to go on time if we don't. And by the way, guys, I know how to get the right way." I don't understand how in the same quote you say, "I hold myself and the leadership team accountable. That being said, put this on our shoulders. We're going to dig us out of this hole." It's like, wait, you put us here. Like
you put us here.
Yeah. You just said it.
Donahoe, Jonahoe.
Clip it.
Ship it. Send it to Portland.
UPS, come pick it up.
Make sure you wrap it in cellophane because it rains over there.
Yeah, this was
all I know is it rains and you got good Hawaiian food.
Starbucks, I assume it's out there.
And they're also not doing great. All right.
Yeah. So I just, this was one of those ones where I read the response and I'm like, I don't know how you like miss that. Right. Like, cause when the CEO goes on CNBC to talk about the business, it's not without having gotten press training from the PR team or running the statements through legal, right? He doesn't just wake up and hop on his phone and be like, let me just tweet something real quick. So I don't know how they're like, hey, gotta be honest, my bad. That being said, we're going to take it from here.
Yeah, that is, I think that is the most like CEO statement that you can do is like, hey, yeah, we're not doing great. And ultimately, that's I'm a leader.
I lead this
thing. And I should. I didn't lead well, but I'm going to lead better.
And, you know what? I'm going to start leading well. My bad. I was not doing it for a while there, and that's on me, but I'm going to mark my words today.
I take responsibility. I'm not going to take a pay cut.
Right.
And I'm going to fire a lot of people.
Can I be clear? I'm going to take responsibility, but not accountability, if that makes sense, you know.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm responsible for this, but I'm not accountable for this.
Oopsie. But also, Deborah in financing, you're going to need a severance package.
Yeah.
Hopefully they at least get a severance. What do you think the Nike severance package is? Just laces?
Just laces.
It's just like.
For a company of this size, I imagine it's decent. I imagine. Go ahead.
I'm thinking, you know, probably on most of like the Nike, you know, internal press, you know, like email, things like that. They probably have like a, you know, their slogan, you know, just do it.
Yeah.
I think you omit it on the following emails. You know what I mean? Like,
not to make, okay. Never, I don't want to make the joke.
Yeah.
I don't want to make the joke.
That rate cranks up. So I don't think you want to end that email with just do it.
Sorry. I was making a different joke than you were.
What was the joke you were making?
I thought you were alluding to the fact that they just laid off a bunch of people. And so I thought you were joking that they changed the signature to just did it. Like, you don't think we'd lay you all off? Just did it. No, sorry. I get the joke that you're making now, and I cannot let you go down that path any further on a recorded line, Your Honor.
Okay. So maybe you admit that.
Yeah. John. Yeah. And last point I had here, which is just like, this is really the first thing I thought about when I heard this news and I started researching further and kind of realized, you know, that this was going back to December. So, listener out there, put yourself in these shoes. So imagine being a Nike employee, right? One of these people on campus in Portland, Oregon. Go ahead.
I was going to say a different analogy, Ryan, please.
Oh, sorry.
Put yourself in their shoes.
Sorry. Put yourself in their Sambas. Like, are we?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't wear Adidas to the Nike campus, but sorry.
You think there's somebody checking you?
That's a thing. That's a thing.
That, I don't think it's a real thing.
Listen.
I mean, it would make sense.
Don't quote me on it, but like, if it's not a thing, if it's not like a stated thing, I doubt many people are trying it, right?
It's
like,
probably,
it might be an unspoken thing, but it's probably a spoken thing.
I think in these times, you go ahead, you put the Adidas socks under. It's just for you.
Just for you. They don't
just have for that. You. Just
all right. For you. So anyways, walk a mile in their shoes.
Dang it, Landry.
You can't stop. Okay. So imagine being a Nike employee in December of 2023. You hear rumors that mass layoffs are about to happen, right? Like, this is the Guardian report. This is not like you get an email. Maybe you have like a Slack channel that's starting to talk about it, but like, there's no official communication. So you're like, okay, mass layoffs are about to happen. Let me check the timing of the Guardian article, because I know it was in December. Do we have a date on it here? Friday, December 22nd. So you're not preparing for any major holidays. You're not getting ready to take off a week. You're completely at ease.
Time of the year.
Wow, I didn't have that context, and that makes this so much worse. So you're about to go on your break, presumably, right? And you hear rumors that layoffs are coming. And then it finally comes to light that Nike expects to cut, that's it. I wrote 740 jobs, but I think the number is over 1500 by June 28th of this coming year. But that's not the end of it. That's 6 months of worrying about your job. And I believe, yes, so 740 jobs by June 28th, but they want to do 1500 total. So that's just like the next round.
Yeah.
That's 6 months of what am I doing here? Like what? Like, I'm sorry, what's my job? Like
another tinfoil hat.
Please hit me with it.
Nike leaks this. What happens when you fire somebody? What do you have to do?
You gotta pay him severance.
What happens when somebody quits?
You don't gotta pay him severance. So you think they leak this and try to see how many people start jumping ship before they have to kick them off the ship?
Landry, they're trying to save $2 billion.
It's not a bad. This is more of like a Reynolds wrap theory that you've got here, right? This is not full tinfoil. I could see this man's got some thoughts here. This is a shower cap theory, I would call it.
There you go. Yeah. I'm flustered. That's what I'm saying. I think if you're trying to cut that massive amount, like if you're trying to grow that massive amount of profit, I would imagine they
try to sweat them out, man.
I think they're trying to because
it's dark. I mean, like you said, crazy.
Again, it's 6 months. That's a long time that you're just like, what's gonna happen? And again, this is happening right before the end of the year holiday.
Yeah.
La 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 la. Oh no. I think there are a lot of people who take that time who, again, not only, but then you have the new year. You're taking stock of what was previous. What do we know about people? We have recency bias. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at your 2023, and the only thing you can think about is, will I have a job? What is your New Year's resolution? I would imagine there have been a decent amount of people who have left Nike beforehand to say, I want to move on to something now because it's a new year. It's a fresh start. It's a new me. But all I can think of was how bad 2023 ended.
But let me play devil's advocate for you here. 1500 jobs, a lot of jobs, right?
Yeah.
2% chance you get fired.
I think that
kind of frames it differently. Like if there's a 2% chance, it's like, you start looking, you update LinkedIn for sure, but
100%. Oh yeah.
A 2% chance of like, do I really think it's going to be me? And am I so sure that I would rather get a jump on the next job before someone else does versus getting whatever the severance payout is? I don't know.
But here's the thing. I think that's another thing. You look at that and you hear how many you hear. 50, that's 1500 people who are going to be hitting the job market.
Yeah.
With a similar skill set and a similar title to you.
Yeah.
Someone's going to have to either move or
switch industries.
That's
really
get a lesser paying job and things like that. So I do think there was a lot of people who were like, yeah, is there a higher percent chance? Obviously, that I don't, but I think it's like, let me leave now. And then I think it's one of those things where it's like, to put your mind and your upset tummy at ease. You know what I mean? Anxiety is a crazy little beast.
Yeah. Save on the extra bottle of Tums next time you're at Trader Joe's. And Trader Joe's probably didn't sell Tums. Target?
No. Trader Joe's also not great. Anti-union. Turns out you can't go anywhere. You can't do anything.
That's our show, everybody.
Welcome to 2024. Everywhere you buy, they are a bummer. Everything you purchase is a bummer.
Thank you, everyone. That's not even the end of our episode here. So
let's do the episode like this.
He's doing curmudgeon mode for the rest of the episode here. So let's start closing out. And the question that we want to leave everyone listening with this and that we'll end this on is that if you've made it this far in the episode, thank you so much for listening. If you're listening on Spotify, this will be in the Q&A. If you're listening on YouTube, we'd love for you to leave a comment down below. Let us know, why do you think we're seeing a dip in Nike sales? Why do you think they're having to resort to this point? Tanner, do you have a headline for this of like why you think this is happening?
A lot of the things that we've said within this episode were probably the most accurate ones. Things are just very expensive. And I think we are at a time now where, yeah, I think people have to look and be like, do I want to buy $180 on a shoe when I probably already have a decent stockpile?
Yeah. I only got 2 feet.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So I have a good stockpile. And I honestly think with the sway of the resale market, sure, you can say the quote unquote disruptive innovation that Nike has been putting out. I think there's also now a time where people are looking at it and be like, I would rather spend $200 on a shoe that came out a couple years ago that maybe I slept on or I didn't get the chance to get. And now they're at a decent price, pay $50 more for something that I did want, you know, than the $180, $200 that, you know, on something that is
just going to come and go. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think just things are expensive. And I think people are kind of looking at other aspects of their life and are like,
not a priority. It's deprioritizing. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah. I think so. What about you? What's cranking Nike's hog?
I don't like that analogy at all. How about instead of that, let me tell you why I think there's a dip in their sales, if you don't mind. I hear your question. I'm going to divert it. Let's save it for a future episode, if you don't mind. I think it's partially of what you're saying, of just like a general dip in the economy across all industries right now. But I think there's also, over the past 4 years, I think Nike is doing the same thing they did in 2015. Where they took their foot off the gas and started going to cruise control, right? I think they got so caught up with the dunk pandemonium of call it 2020 through 2022 and everything being a sellout and probably just feeling so invincible from dominating the market that I think they're right. I think they stopped really innovating and bringing new things to the market in the way that we want them to. And that left the door open for companies like On and Hoka and Salomon to get their, pun intended, foot in the door and get a piece of the pie, if you will, right? So the whole pie, just like shoes, footwear industries, smaller in general, as a result of like people having less discretionary money to spend. And within that smaller pie, they're also losing sections of it to Hoka, On, Salomon. Those are the three big like challenger ones that I feel like I see right now popping up more. Like you see more people wearing them, you see more sneaker boutiques carrying them. So I think Nike's just kind of I hate that they're all shoe puns, but like losing their footing a little bit here. These are not scripted, by the way. Tanner can see the doc. He'll tell you these are not scripted. It's just the way it's happening.
This is the doc I have access to.
He doesn't see the director's cut of this episode.
The pun doc.
Yeah. I really think that's what it is. I think they're right that they've been lacking on the innovation and like bringing new things to the market that are exciting. They've been relying very heavily on like being able to crank out new colorways of dunks and go back to retros that have historically worked for them. I don't know that that's the blame on Zoom calls, but
yeah,
I do think that's how they got why they're here. I think having to do these mass layoffs is like a very short-term band-aid that hopefully puts them in a place where they can afford to start doing whatever they need to do to get back on track. Sorry, going back to the 2016 analogy when Adidas, NMD, and Ultra Boost, right, took over the market because Nike was just so stale in what they were doing.
I mean, I think a good point you brought up with the dunk craze that happened. Do you think the records and all the profit that dunks took off set the bar too high too quickly for their growth?
I think,
and now their years, their projections are is years ahead of where they, you know, 2024, and now they're like, we were hoping that we would get this big increase. We just weren't expecting it to be so high. And then now the shareholders are like, okay, the bar's here now. We're like, well, no, it was just because we just had a big thing. It's like, no, you now, this is your low.
Yeah.
Which you shot up too high, you know.
I think a lot of smart companies, or at least just decent minded companies that I've seen, once 2022 came around and whatever your take on the pandemic, realized that business was starting to subside from that real bubble and burst that we saw right there. Most sound companies identified that 2020 and however much of 2021 were outlier years, were not to be compared against going forward. If you're doing year over year analysis, they were like so random and bizarre, throw it out. So a lot of what you see is companies around 2022 and 2023, they compare to 2018, 2019 pre-COVID, because that's a more dependable idea of what it is. So a very long answer to your question here is that I would like to think that Nike has the sense to, when you're forecasting for 2023 and 2024, take 2020 with a grain of salt, in that as far as we know, there's not another coming scenario where everyone's going to get stuck inside and handed a very large check and say, spend it on essentials, you know?
Yeah.
And not the shoes that you've wanted forever. So I would like to think that they're not basing it off of that, but I think it is just sustainable growth, or not, not sustainable, but, you know, just like forever growth.
Yeah.
What you said though, did just remind me, I want to see if I can switch. This is not planned real quick, but, I saw this sneaker news article the other day. I don't know if you can read this decently. 10 upcoming Nike dunks you should be excited about. Actually, give me 1 second here. I am going to move it to this screen. I think it'll size a little bit better here. Hold, please. Okay.
Hey.
So I'm going to go through this real quick. This is funny. I thought this was going to be one of the topics originally, and I scrapped it for our episode we just did. But you mentioned dunks, so I'm going to close with this. All right. Go ahead and let me know when you're excited. Okay.
Okay.
You can, see it. You can see it, right?
I see the,
I see
the
pink. Okay. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. And then, and then the same one, which is white.
Reverse Neapolitan Jumpman Jack. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yep. That's just two of the 10. Sure. Maybe the next one.
Obviously. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Stucco. Look. Like
yeah. House. Listen, wouldn't call it excited because the colorway is not great, but you put all suede on a dunk. Okay. One, I'll give you one.
Yeah.
Nike court.
There's some movement.
Cool. The tennis callback. There's some movement. Okay.
There's some movement. Okay. Ooh, Dragon Red. That's going to be a hit with the seventh graders. Okay. Denim turquoise has got me. Okay. Probably, you know, okay. Oh, thought that was pandas. Okay. All right. Sure. Oh, okay. Just doing different shades. Raspberry, huh? Okay.
This is, we could do a whole nother 50. That's 10.
Wow. That was fast.
Do a whole nother 50 minutes here on just where dunks are. But I think this is a really good summary of, you know, and sneaker news, love them. We use them for a lot of our show here. Not going to pretend we don't. But you know, I feel like trying to continue this narrative of like dunks are great and here's what you should be excited about, when in reality, like these are just 10 GRs that are going to go sit at Foot Locker, you know?
Like, for sure.
So I think like, if anything, like this should really be like your red flag, your nail in the coffin of like, hey, I think dunks move still for like, that mall court audience. But I think for sneakerheads, we're all kind of like, I'm ready to let dunks breathe for a little bit here. In fact, one of the top comments on this post, for the love of God, Nike, please put this played out model out of its misery. 50 likes. So if that's kind of the sentiment among sneakerheads right now,
man. And then I think Nike just announced another like vault thing or something like that with
Cult
like
Classics. Bringing
back. There you go.
You're going through the whole prior episode that I had planned for today. Maybe we can get more into that next week, but it's,
there you go.
Bringing back 10 classics from the vault that no one asked for. So,
and
one of them, the Air Max 180 Ultramarine. I'll stand by that one.
Sure. But
thank you everyone for checking out another episode of Shoe Podcast. You can catch us online at shoepodcast.com and across all of our socials at Shoe Podcast. If you want to continue the conversation with us, we have a Discord. It'll be linked down in the episode description below. Again, once again, if you made it this far in the episode, thank you so much for listening. Please hit that subscribe button or that follow button if you didn't. No shot. Mm-hmm. You just listened to us yap for 50 minutes and you didn't enjoy it. I mean, unless maybe you really had no shot to stop it from playing, like the play button was too far out of reach, but even still, maybe hit that button. It would help us. And leave that comment, answer that Q&A. Let us know, why do you think Nike sales are dipping and they're having to resort to this? Tanner, before we go, you got anything you want to leave the people with?
Get a LinkedIn.
Oh,
get a LinkedIn.
Oh,
keep it updated.
Speak on it. Speak.
I think, use all of the tools that are available, for you. You know, if you have a company that is willing to provide things for you, don't be afraid to ask. It's always hard to do that, you know, especially if it's like, hey, I need money to do something, you know, for specifically like my career path. I have to get these continuing education units. And my company has a program where it's like, hey, we will help provide financial to get
it's gonna benefit
those
them.
Hours.
They're going to invest
and
in
it. Exactly. So that is kind of what they have. And I have had to get comfortable of being like, hey, I really want to take this specific course. I would like, you know, the company to help or provide that payment. You know, they have it there. So know what resources are available to you and just have that. It's not even confidence because they're there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Go get them. You know what I mean?
Yep. And John Donahoe, come on the show and explain yourself. All right. Thank you, everyone, for checking out another episode of Shoe Podcast.
Hey, I will always love that name and I will purposely mispronounce it.
One more time. I'm your co-host, Ryan Landry.
I'm your co-host, Tanner Young.
Catch you all next week. Y'all have a good weekend out there. Stay safe. Be responsible.